Small business owners, this one's for you. Chase for Business and iHeart bring you a new podcast series called The Unshakeables. This one-of-a-kind series will shine the spotlight on small business owners like you who faced a do-or-die moment that ultimately made their business what it is today. Learn more at chase.com/business/podcast. Chase, make more of what's yours. Chase Mobile App is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A., member FDIC. Copyright 2024, JPMorgan Chase & Company.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G-connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
It all started with two federal agents who heard a rumor.
She mentions, well, there is this alleged murder to have taken place.
There was just one problem. They had no clue who the victim was.
We have to do our job, and we have to find out, who did they kill?
It had been 15 years since this alleged murder. Was it still possible to unearth the truth?
I used to watch the Unsolved Mystery shows, and I often thought about calling because I was like, this is not right. How can a person get killed and no one knows anything?
I'm Jake Halpern, and this is Deep Cover, The Nameless Man. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to hear the entire season right now, ad-free, subscribe to Pushkin Plus on our Apple Podcast show page or on pushkin.fm/plus.
Pushkin. Hey, Loudest Girl listeners, Lauren here. I'm dropping into your feeds to share something special this week. Where There's a Will searches for the surprising places William Shakespeare shows up outside the theater. Host Barry Edelstein, artistic director of one of the country's leading Shakespeare theaters, asks what it is about Shakespeare that's given him a continuous afterlife in all sorts of unexpected ways. You'll hear Shakespeare doing rehabilitative work in a maximum security prison, in the mouths of U.S. presidents, and even at the center of a deadly riot in New York City. Join Barry as he uncovers the many ways Shakespeare endures in our modern society and what that says about us. In the preview you're about to hear, Barry meets children with a very special relationship to the Bard, autistic kids, who discover ways to express themselves through a writer from 400 years ago. Okay, here comes the preview. You can hear more episodes of Where There's a Will wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Saturday morning at the Old Globe. I'm here to meet Declan.
I am a little nervous, but I'm generally feeling good.
Okay, good. Well, we're going to get the nerves to go away in a second. Declan's 15, and he had a late night. There was a school dance.
I didn't do much dancing, per se. I mean, I hope this isn't too controversial, but I'm not really a big fan of most of the music that they play at high school dances nowadays. And, like, it's always the same things. Like, could they at least not play different bad music this time, I wonder?
I know Declan because he spent the summer enrolled in a program that the Old Globe runs for teens who want to learn about acting, theater, and specifically Shakespeare. Declan loves Shakespeare. I mean, loves him.
So, I had my first encounter with Shakespeare, or my first Shakespeareance, if you will, that I can remember when I was 12.
That Shakespeareance was when Declan performed in a student production of The Winter's Tale, one of Shakespeare's last and most moving plays.
So, I played Autolycus,
Autolycus is the comic lead. He's this small-time thief who wears disguises and runs schemes and even sings a little.
And so we had the 2 weeks to kind of schlock together a play and with language that I had never encountered. And that was really fascinating, quite difficult, but I really enjoyed it. And Autolycus was like a very fun character, and it came to the performance, and we were outside, and I was hot and sweaty and bellowing out lines that I had no idea if the audience could understand, and I loved it. So that was my first encounter with Shakespeare, yeah.
How would you characterize what excited you about it when you were playing Autolycus?
Shakespeare is just very unique, and like I can't really draw a comparison between working on his works and the works of any other writer or genre or anything. So I may not even really have the words to describe working on Shakespeare, and that might be what I love about it.
Declan protests too much. He really does have the words to describe it.
It also connects to more largely what excites me in life and what I want to do with my life, which is theater, creativity. But also, like, Shakespeare is inescapable. You find it literally etched at the foots of statues. You see it quoted at weddings. You see it on stages everywhere. Pretty much every respectable theater is, like, performing at least one Shakespeare play a season.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't say that it's just a big thing for me. I mean, it's a big thing for everyone. It has to be. You can't escape it, and who would want to?
How does it make you feel when you have a private moment, sitting alone in your bedroom, sitting outside in a garden, leafing through some sonnet or something like that? What happens to you?
I mean, it depends. There are certainly a lot of passages that, you know, kind of, I mean, they all kind of fill me with awe, but there are different strains of awe. I mean, sometimes it's comedy, but even those, it's just so impressive. And often, even when it seems like a glib joke, it's usually saying something quite deep.
Different strains of awe. I love that. When I hear Declan, at the ripe age of 15, talk about Shakespeare like that, I remember a line from The Merchant of Venice. I never knew so young a body with so old a head. But Declan's not the only teen with a deep connection to Shakespeare. There's something about this writer that speaks really powerfully, magically even, to young people. I'm Barry Edelstein, and I run the Old Globe in San Diego, one of the country's leading Shakespeare theaters. And this is Where There's a Will, Finding Shakespeare, from The Globe and Pushkin Industries. Our show discovers Shakespeare in all sorts of unexpected places and asks what he's doing there and what his presence means about him and about us. My companion on this search for Old William is a friend and colleague with their own deep interest in Shakespeare, a writer and director who works on stage, screen, and TV, M. Weinstein. Hi, Em.
Hi, Barry. It's so fun listening to Declan.
He's an amazing guy. I was about his age when I first discovered Shakespeare, but I was way, way less articulate about why I loved the stuff.
Well, I'm not sure I'm ready to believe that, Barry. But yes, Declan is remarkable. Though I must say, I'm not entirely surprised. I've done a lot of work on Shakespeare with young people, and the way they deal with him kind of blows me away always.
I couldn't agree more. Because the work The Globe does with teens is some of the stuff I love the most. Anyway, it's the stuff that delights me the most. Like, I asked Declan what he thought it was about Shakespeare that moved him so. Just listen to his answer. Can you talk a little bit about what the language of Shakespeare and the text of Shakespeare is doing that engages you and moves you?
Well,
you have some with you?
I have my script from Henry V, actually.
Lay it on me.
And here, can I take a minute to get my ducks in a row?
Yes, sir. Do you have a passage you want to share?
I'm not sure. I've been so busy, I didn't have a terrible amount of time to prepare for this. But I suppose just because I was reading it earlier and thinking about it, the passage that I auditioned with was a monologue from Act 2, Scene 2.
Of Henry V.
Right, of Henry V.
Okay.
When Henry V is essentially chewing out Cambridge, Scroope, and Grey for betraying him.
Right.
And it's just a really powerful passage that spoke to me. Should I, like, read it?
Yeah, read some of it,
If
you don't mind.
See you these English monsters. My lord of Cambridge here, this man and this knight for a few light crowns lightly conspired and sworn unto the practices of France to kill us here in Hampton. Oh, thou hast infected the sweetness of friendship. Seem men dutiful? Why, so didst thou. Seem they grave and learned? Why, so didst thou. Come they of noble family? Why, so didst thou. Seem they religious? Why, so didst thou. Arrest them to the answer of the law, and God acquit them of their practices.
Wow. Bravo.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness.
Declan is just great. What a wonderful reading of Henry.
He'll play it for real at some point, I'm sure.
Declan reminds me of so many of the teens I've done Shakespeare with. During the pandemic, I spent 6 weeks working with a group of 23 teenagers to reimagine Romeo and Juliet. I was scheduled to direct the play in person, and then when the world shut down, we pivoted to Zoom and we made this sort of hybrid theater video digital production. And hearing the show in the mouths of young people in lockdown, isolated from their friends, watching the world crumble around them was truly humbling. They found so much humor in moments I never realized were funny, and they were so angry at the failures of the adults in the play, just as angry as they were with the adults failing them during COVID. I realized that Shakespeare is so powerful for teenagers because adolescence is really when society teaches us to not express that kind of anger, to not speak up, to not express our feelings, to suppress who we are.
And Shakespeare's characters never do that. Like Romeo, he cries out, "I defy you, stars." He just rails at the injustice of the universe.
Exactly. When you're Romeo's age, you don't hold anything in. You say what you feel, even if it's uncomfortable or gnarly or it's difficult to hear. For me, when I was a teen, and for the teens I worked with, Shakespeare's a sort of beautiful remedy. Society wants us to sit down and shut up, but Shakespeare demands the exact opposite.
We think about Shakespeare being forced on teens in school, all dreary and boring in some English class to be suffered through. But Declan, and I think the kids you worked with, have found a way to love him on their own terms. The summer Shakespeare program that Declan was in at the Globe had about 20 other kids in it. They made their own production of Henry V, not just with the Shakespeare text, but with their own writing, too. Some of them composed music, some choreographed dance and movement. It was amazing. We'll hear about it, and we'll hear from some of the remarkable young people in it after a short break.
The tradition of breaking tradition continues with the return of the Unconventional Awards from T-Mobile for Business at Mobile World Congress. This is an event that celebrates innovators whose bold actions took their industries to new places. If that sounds like you and you're a T-Mobile for Business customer, enter today. If you win, you'll be publicly honored among some of the most influential leaders in industry, and me, I'll be there too. Enter now at tmobile.com/unconventionalawards. See you there.
It all started with two federal agents who heard a rumor.
She mentions, well, there is this alleged murder to have taken place.
There was just one problem. They had no clue who the victim was.
We have to do our job, and we have to find out, who did they kill?
It had been 15 years since this alleged murder. Was it still possible to unearth the truth?
I used to watch the Unsolved Mystery shows, and I often thought about calling because I was like, this is not right. How can a person get killed and no one knows anything?
I'm Jake Halpern, and this is Deep Cover, The Nameless Man. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to hear the entire season right now, ad-free, subscribe to Pushkin Plus on our Apple Podcast show page or on pushkin.fm/plus.